Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Well, 400 weeks ago, we began talking about the outdoors on this little radio show right here. It started on just a handful of stations, I think maybe five. Then we grew it to what is now a 30-station radio network across Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Today, we also offer streaming on demand on our website, podcasts, and of course, these videos now that you can watch on YouTube and Facebook and our Instagram account as well. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks for being a part of it. Matt Soberg was there at the beginning. As this show was started as Minnesota Sporting Journal Radio, as a complement to the Minnesota Sporting Journal magazine, which Matt started publishing it. Matt will join us later in the show here to talk about the very beginning of this radio show. Also, why rough grouse drum and how turkey hunting went with his 9-year-old son recently. It's the Minnesota Fishing Opener this weekend, of course. So we're going to talk walleyes. We're going to talk fishing. We have the DNR Commissioner, Sarah Stroman, joining us on the show this week to talk about what they recommend you do and don't do this weekend. Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism also joins us to talk about fishing Lake of the Woods this weekend. And then there's also a new show that Prairie Public and Fargo put out about the Northwest Angle. We'll find out more about that as well. Now, this week's show is brought to you by Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. Book a trip at haybaleheights.com. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Learn more about the Northwest Angle, that TV show that Prairie Public did, and find out more about what's going on at Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge in Northwest Saskatchewan. Trophy Lake Trout, Trophy Northern Pike. Beautiful setting. It's such a cool place. Learn more about getting up there at TazenLake.com. And of course, by Prairie Sportsman. We got a very cool episode coming up this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS at 7:30 p.m. all about the southeastern region of Minnesota. It's called Driftless. We visit the biggest cave in Minnesota. We go biking along the Root River Trail, and we get up close and personal with timber rattlesnakes. Check it out this Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS. And then there's going to be airtimes all over the state of Minnesota coming up over the next few weeks. All right, now we've got the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Commissioner, Sarah Stroman, on the show with us. Thanks for being on the show. First of all, I think the first time I met you was at the Governor's Fishing Opener last year in Albert Lee. Maybe I might have met Mika, might have met you first. She's always famous for being the first one there. Times were a little bit different last year than they are this year.
Yeah, you know, last year was a great opener in Albert Lee. They really did a wonderful job hosting, and fishing opener is something we look forward to every year in Minnesota. But like so many of our favorite activities right now, COVID-19 has changed a lot of things, and fishing opener certainly is no exception to that. So one of the main things that's different this year is we are asking Minnesotans to fish close to home this year, and that is so that we can ensure that we are protecting all Minnesotans and making sure that folks stay safe and healthy, particularly in our rural communities that have populations who have a higher incidence of underlying conditions that make them more vulnerable to the COVID-19 virus. So specifically, because we've gotten a lot of questions about what close to home means, we're advising that that means no overnight stays, that folks should bring all their needed supplies with them, and only go as far as you can travel and return on a single tank of gas. And with those guidelines in mind, we should be able to minimize the potential points of transmission and keep all Minnesotans safe and healthy.
I bet you'd never have to work through something like this when you were appointed commissioner.
No, this was not on the list, but it's obviously we're all adapting and adjusting to how we live and do our work in a global pandemic. And you know, I actually am really proud of the way that the Department of Natural Resources has responded and how much of our work we are able to continue to do and how Minnesotans are responding.
How much direction are you getting from the governor, and as commissioner, what decisions or recommendations are up to you?
Yeah, well, obviously, the governor is very involved, as he should be, in Minnesota's response to COVID-19. He is issuing executive orders, and in particular, related to some of the issues we work on, the stay-at-home order is really what's guiding a lot of our work, both in terms of the work that our employees can do under that stay-at-home order and obviously the work and activities that Minnesotans can do under that stay-at-home order. So we are in close coordination, not only with the governor, but with all the agencies. The Minnesota Department of Health obviously is a very important partner in this, with the goal being to keep Minnesotans healthy. And so their advice is very important as we work through these issues. In particular, our area of focus has been on outdoor recreation and how we provide those opportunities for Minnesotans in a way that maintains health and safety for everyone.
How has the DNR been able to work from home? It's not really a work from home type of job.
Right. So, I think a number of folks, a good portion of our people are working from home. And, I think we're all learning the kinds of things that we can do from home and didn't anticipate that we would be able to do. So that's part of the process. And technology is a great aid in that. But obviously, a lot of our work is field-based, and a lot of that work is going on, too. So, our conservation officers, they are exempt critical workers under the stay-at-home. They remain out in the field doing their work. And then with a lot of our other field work, we have been carefully evaluating to understand, what those jobs take and make sure that we can do those jobs with the regular safety aspects in mind. And now, obviously, with the COVID-19 safety requirements and the social distancing requirements. So we have some things like our fish egg take this year that we weren't able to do because we weren't able to reconcile those safety goals. But, a lot of things that we are able to do, our state parks, for example, are still open for day use and people are able to enjoy those opportunities. Some of the facilities are closed, but we've been able to keep a lot of things open and available,
which is great. I know you look at different states and they're all doing things a little bit differently. I think it's great that our state parks have remained open. I know people are upset about the overnight camping. What was the decision to not allow, I guess, overnight camping in public campgrounds?
Well, because we are under stay-at-home order in the state of Minnesota, that's really the guiding reason behind that is the need that during that time to discourage distance travel and overnight travel to ensure consistency with that stay-at-home. And again, if you think about many of our rural communities, we have populations that tend to be older. We have our American Indian populations. Those populations have a higher incidence of underlying conditions that make them more susceptible to the virus. And if we think about this fishing opener or camping, folks don't just go to the boat ramp or to the campground. There's often stops to get gas and stops at the convenience store. And those are the same retail outlets that local folks in those communities rely on for their daily needs. And again, serve as possible points of transmission. So the goal is to minimize those potential points of transmission, again, during the stay-at-home order.
So somebody would argue that you could go stay at a resort or a hotel, but you can't go to a public campground. Is that because it's a private business versus a public ownership at that point?
Well, the issue with the resorts is the full resort is actually not open. The parts of resorts that are allowed under the stay-at-home order are the lodging portions only.
Right.
And that is because really there is no difference between lodging at a facility that calls itself a resort and lodging that calls itself a hotel. And, there are people that are critical workers across the state of Minnesota that may need to travel in the course of that critical work and may need a place to stay.
It's a tough time right now, of course, but a lot of people are buying fishing licenses.
Yeah, absolutely. Fishing license sales are up incredibly, more than 40% right now from this time last year. And, I think we see it every day around Minnesota. People are getting out and about the outdoors. Something we've always talked about, the importance of the outdoors and keeping people healthy and in preserving, mental health, reducing stress and anxiety. And I think the stress and anxiety that people are feeling as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, clearly they're also finding refuge in nature from that. And I think that's a great side benefit. And the license revenues is a great thing because when people buy that fishing license, it's really an investment in our quality fish habitat and in our fishing experiences. Even if you don't get out this year or you have to fish a little bit differently this opener, you know, anglers should still feel really good about that investment they're making in Minnesota's aquatic and fish habitats.
Those dollars go to the right places for sure. Speaking of dollars, this is a tough one because you have to balance things a little bit. And tourism in this state relies on outdoor recreation. And some of those small communities, the resorts, they rely on those tourism dollars. What are you hearing from some of those smaller communities, some of those resorts out there about the current situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, that none of these decisions around stay at home and how, you know, to open up the state slowly and gradually as the governor's doing, as that is possible based on, you know, the health data and how we're tracking. Those are not easy decisions, there's no doubt. And, you know, I think we all hear the concerns from businesses as we get into May and more summer months, that those are really crucial months for those businesses. But of course, you know, people also want to make sure that we stay healthy and don't get in a situation where we've caused spread of the virus and made that worse. So, you know, I think we'll have to continue to watch that. And I think, you know, the governor has been committed to a gradual approach here and following an approach that is based on science and data and good health information. And of course, at the DNR, we're also an agency that values making decisions based on good science and data.
Do you think people are going to find a new favorite lake this year?
I think the opportunity to find a new lake or find a new spot, maybe a new a river bank too, is a great opportunity this year. Some of the more well-known popular spots may be crowded. So, you know, people should plan ahead, maybe pick a less popular time of day or take advantage of the Lake Finder application on the DNR's website. That's a great tool to search for lakes and waters close to your home so you can meet that close to home request and maybe find a new favorite spot that you didn't realize was right in your backyard.
Do you think they'll get the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund figured out?
I do not have a crystal ball on that one. You know, we're hopeful that we will exit this legislative session successfully with, you know, those funding opportunities and some policy initiatives intact. You know, that's a multi-party conversation between the House and the Senate and the executive branch.
Well, hopefully just everything starts getting better for us. There's so many things going on right now. It would be nice to get some good news. And it's a tough job. Your job right now, the governor's job is a tough job right now. I don't envy you guys in your positions at all. I really appreciate you giving us the time here to talk about the opener and fishing and what you can do and can't do. Commissioner, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brad. Happy to have the conversation.
All right, coming up, we'll have Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism and also Matt Soberg, who is with Covey Rise magazine now. We'll talk about what Covey Rise is, how he works remotely for a magazine in Alabama while he lives in that Brainerd-Baxter area. And then we'll talk about why Ruff Grouse Drum, how turkey hunting is going right now, and what it was like in the beginning of this radio show right here and how the whole thing got started 400 episodes ago. This is our 400th Sporting Journal radio show. So thank you for tuning in across the network here in Minnesota or over in North Dakota or in Wisconsin as well. And I also just want to take a minute to thank all the radio stations. Thank you for carrying this radio show right here each week and allowing us to talk about hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. It's been a privilege for us to be a part of your airwaves, even as we offer a number of different ways to consume the radio show. Thank you for being a part of Sporting Journal Radio as we celebrate 400 shows. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. On the next Prairie Sportsman, we're spending time in the Driftless region of Minnesota. We'll head down the Root River Trail, venture into Mystery Cave, and get up close and personal with timber rattlesnakes. It's all coming up on the next Prairie Sportsman.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now we're going to go up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
Ready for the opener, baby. Bring it on.
It's here. It's I can't believe we're talking about the opener already this weekend. Big discussion about what you can do. Just had, of course, a DNR commissioner on there. Joe, you got to hear some of the things that she talked about. What do you think about what she said?
First off, we have a great relationship with the DNR. We really do. They're like partners in success, and we really lean on them a lot for a lot of things. And truly, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying that's how the real life is that we really work with some good people in the DNR. So, you know, I think, I guess what I would say is this. I think there's a little bit of mixed messages coming from some of our different organizations throughout the state, because I can tell you the way it is that, you know, right now it is okay to travel across the state of Minnesota for recreational reasons. And it's okay to stay overnight at a resort or hotel for recreational purposes, as long as you're practicing some of the safety measures in place, like social distancing and, you know, people of your household, et cetera. I know that firsthand, because we've confirmed it in many, many different fronts. So, you know, up at Lake of the Woods, for instance, you know, we got people coming up for the opener now. We've lost a lot of reservations because of all this stuff, but you know, we still have a fair number of people coming up to go fishing and to enjoy a tradition at the walleye capital of the world like no other, you know. And what I would say is that, man, you know, compared to right now, you can do an Uber and Lyft. That means you're getting into an enclosed car with a stranger. You can go to a Home Depot, which, you know, on a nice day on a weekend, it seems like it's Black Friday. You can go to the grocery store and it's packed. I mean, you can do all those things. Well, certainly you can go fishing. And one of the things we're hoping is that perhaps with restrictions, they lift the ban on charter boats and guided fishing. But right now, people can come up on their own, bring their own boat, perhaps rent a boat, and have at it. And tell you what, if these fish haven't been beat on for a couple of months, they're going to be prime.
That's right. Well, and I get the discussion of staying close to home. And I understand the message that they're trying to put out there. I have a couple of issues with a couple of things, like the going to get to one tank of gas thing, because, and I understand, I don't want people to travel to a small community and spread COVID-19 in a small community. I 100% totally get that. I a lot of times don't go into gas stations when I get gas. You know, a lot of times I just fill up and keep going. So if a person were to pack all their food, you know, and you know, you go to a boat launch, you're not necessarily next to a lot of people, but if you just fill up at the pump, I guess I don't see too many issues there with that. It's a tough situation for everybody involved right now, Joe.
Well, you know, I just had a conversation this morning at, you know, our resorts, they're taking this thing seriously. And, you know, COVID-19 cleaning guidelines. I mean, that's a lot of extra work with how often you got to clean, and it changes the whole routine. But I mean, cleaning guidelines, guidelines for takeout food, fish cleaning shacks, you know, just everything. But the good thing is these things are addressed. And really, when you take a look at how you're living your daily life, going up to a resort community, whether it's Lake of the Woods or anywhere in Minnesota, and having all your stuff, being self-sufficient, staying at a cabin. In a lot of cases, you don't even have to go to the lodge. You can just check in online and you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line in all this, we don't want anybody to get sick. We don't want people to have any issues, but we need that economy. We need that tourism, and people need to be able to get out and enjoy the outdoors in a safe, responsible manner. Joe, just changing gears for just a little bit, got your Lake of the Woods newsletter that people can sign up to get updates about Lake of the Woods. And you had a new show that was filmed up there. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, Prairie Public filmed a documentary on the Northwest Angle, and it's called The Northwest Angle, Minnesota's Best Kept Secret. And, you know, Barbara Gravel, the producer over at Prairie Public, and I know you know her, Brett, and met her and stuff, you know, just did a really great job. They were up there three different trips for different seasons and just put together really a neat, well-thought-out documentary, really kind of showing the way life is up at that Northwest Angle. And, of course, that Northwest Angle is that little tip of Minnesota that sticks up into Canada for people that don't know. And what a neat, neat deal. It's a special place up there. And if you get a chance to watch that documentary, we have it, of course, on our Lake of the Woods Tourism's website.
All right. And why don't you give us that website? People can find that video and also links to lodging and everything else that's going up at Lake of the Woods.
You bet. It is Lake of the Woods, MN for Minnesota. LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com.
Thank you very much, Joe. Hey, by the way, Thank you. This is our 400th episode of Sporting Journal Radio, by the way.
Yes.
400 awesome. Shows. It all started with Minnesota Sporting Journal Magazine with Matt Soberg. And Matt Soberg is going to join us to talk about where this all started and where we've come from and where we're at now. And we'll talk turkey and rough grouse drumming into Joe Henry, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Brett.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
On the next Prairie Sportsman, we're spending time in the driftless region of Minnesota. We'll head down the Root River Trail, venture into Mystery Cave, and get up close and personal with timber rattlesnakes. It's all coming up on the next Prairie Sportsman. Watch Driftless, Sunday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS, May 16th on WDSC in Duluth, TPT Life, May 23rd in the Twin Cities. All over the state on the Minnesota Channel May 28th, on Lakeland PBS June 13th, and on KSMQ in the Southeast July 2nd. Or watch it at PrairieSportsman.org or on the Pioneer PBS YouTube channel.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to bring on an old friend of the show here, and it's always a special moment having you on the show for a number of reasons, so we're going to get into those here in just a little bit. But Matt Soberg joins us from a cool place. This is your office at home, Matt?
Actually, I rent a little spot up in Nisswa, Minnesota. It's about 10 miles north of where I live in Brainerd. And it's a nice little drive through the Gull Lakes area, and I need a place to get away. So this is my home office here.
Well, I like the decorations. It's very cool. I have birds. You have deer.
Works. Yeah, out. You gotta have some dead animals on the wall. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you're the editor of Covey Rise Magazine. First of all, just tell our tell our listeners, but hey, tell our viewers. Huh? See what I did there? Tell our viewers what Covey Rise is, Matt.
Yeah, Cubby Rise is a national upland hunting magazine. It's been around for about 8 or 9 years now. It's based out of Alabama, actually. But it covers all different upland hunting species. And we focus on the upland hunting lifestyle. So it's everything from like hunting articles to bird dogs, shotguns. And then our food section is really popular. We talk about bourbon a little bit, you know, tailgate beers after a hunt, smoking cigars, all that fun stuff that goes along with the uplands, from hunting to everything you do after that too.
So let's just back up to the beginning of that. You said Alabama. How the heck did you get connected with a magazine in Alabama?
Yeah. I've always known about Cubby Rise. It's a really high quality publication, one that I've always respected. And I wrote an article, probably 4 or 5 years ago for Cubby Rise. It was one of my first big main magazine articles for a national publication. And it was actually about Mark Haglin and Pine Shadows and their Springer operation based out of Brainerd. And I wrote that for Cubby Rise. And that's how I got to know the publisher and editor. His name is John Thames. He is on the board of Pheasants Forever. So I've been keeping in touch with him over the last 4 or 5 years. And when he was looking for an editor 2 years ago, he called me, and it ended up being a good fit. So I've been there for about 2 years now.
Well, congrats on that gig. That's pretty cool. And I want to talk about how this COVID-19 situation is affecting you and your work. And I assume you're kind of like me. And if your magazine is Alabama and you're living in the Brainerd-Baxter area, obviously you're able to do some work remotely and work from home. So that probably hasn't affected you quite as much. But obviously you're a parent too. So there's some changes, I'm sure, in your world in that sense. So I want to talk about all that and talk about turkey hunting. But I want to go back to the very beginning, because if you and I were to have a conversation at Game Fair back in 2012 and say in 2020, we're going to be doing interviews over Skype for Sporting Journal Radio, I mean, you would have looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It seems like so long ago when we were working together. And for folks that don't know, we worked together on the Minnesota Sporting Journal right when it got started. And seems like a long time ago. And I was thinking about this just a couple days ago, like, if I may say so, we've done pretty good for ourselves since that time. You know, like we both work full time in the outdoor industry, and other guys that were working with us too, like Ben Redingen works for Primos full time. And my cousin, Taylor Michaels, wrote articles for us, and he's working for
Jason Mitchell.
Jason Mitchell. Yeah. And so we're all doing the full-time thing in the outdoor industry, and we all worked together way back then on that little magazine. And I like to think that some, even in a little ways, kind of springboarded us to where we are today. And I think it's kind of a cool story.
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. And I just had Jason Mitchell on the radio show here a couple of weeks ago. So we were talking about Taylor, actually, and he's been doing quite a bit there for him. But you started it. You started this whole thing, Minnesota Sporting Journal Magazine, and you had a vision for that magazine. Tell us about the genesis. What made you start that magazine and what you had in mind for it?
Yeah, at the time I was a lawyer, to be honest with you, and I had just turned 30. And had a young life crisis, I call it. And I decided I didn't want to do the law thing anymore. And I'd been dabbling in writing and always wanted to be in the outdoor industry. And so I talked my wife into it, and she let me start a magazine. Looking back, I wouldn't recommend that for anybody to be but hey, it springboarded me into, then I worked for the Rough Grouse Society and now Cubby Rise. And so it kind of got me on the right path to where I wanted to go. And I worked with great people like you and Taylor and Ben and tons of other people with it. And so it was great for networking and kind of getting people to know who I was within the industry, especially here in Minnesota.
Right. And it was a beautiful magazine. Like it was photo heavy. It was a well put together magazine, high quality, you know, paper. The whole thing was just a nice looking magazine.
Yeah, and that was sort of the vision for it. We wanted to cover hunting and fishing, but do it in a high quality way, but also have the content sort of relatable to the regular guy hunting and fishing, looking for opportunities and things to do that around here. And then luckily, after I moved on to the Rough Grouse Society, you kept going with it for quite a few years and did a great job with it too. So it was around for a long time and something I think we should be proud of for sure.
And I'm very proud of it. And I appreciate you saying that because I'm a radio guy. So getting into the print world was a little bit of an adjustment for me. You know, it's a different world. And then I ended up working for another TV show that had a magazine. So circumstances led to the end of publishing Minnesota Sporting Journal magazine. Unfortunately, I know we were both a little it's sad to see that day come, but we kept it going. And if you remember, I always love telling the story, Matt, because it was you, me and Ben sitting at the booth at Game Fair in 2012. And we were talking about, you know, gosh, who should we interview? There's so many people here at Game Fair. We should interview somebody. And then we were talking, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm a radio guy. Why don't we start a radio show? And we're like, all right, well, who should our first interview be? And I think it was, we decided on Laura Shera being the first interview. And like, all right, well, let's talk about some questions. What should we ask her? And I don't know whose idea it was, but somebody said that I should propose to her. So that's what that was my first question for old Laura Shera there is, will you marry me? And needless to say,
what do you remember what she said back to you right away?
Well, right away she said yes. She said, well, no, she said, I take that back. She said, what? We've only known each other 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, so what? She goes, okay, fine, let's do it. And I said, well, that's great. I don't even need to ask my follow-up question here of why not? Because I was expecting no to be the answer. And then needless to say, we're not married. So that didn't work out for us.
I also remember she was pretty quick to respond to something along the lines of, I think my dad is going to want to see your balance sheet first.
Yeah, she did make that comment. And that's when I knew we were destined for a life apart at that point. But it was a good time. And that's how this whole thing started. And the radio show now has grown to 30 stations across the region in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. That was in 2012 when we started the radio show. As a matter of fact, Matt, next week, you're going to be a guest on my 400th radio show.
No way.
400 weeks we've been doing this thing.
That's impressive. And I know a lot of my buddies listen, and you've been doing it for a long time. I didn't know you were on that many stations, so that's awesome.
Well, thanks for paying attention. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Working with a magazine in Alabama called Covey Rise, how much education did you have to do on quail and different species of quail?
Yeah, a little bit, honestly, but my family lives down in Texas now, so I've been down there hunting quail and woodcock, and so I've had some experience with it for sure. And the good thing is that Covey Rise covers all upland species. So we do quail down south, we do hunts out west, we're trying to do a lot more grouse and woodcock stuff in the north and the northeast. So we're spreading out and doing a lot of different things. And it's a real good opportunity for me to not necessarily just focus on one species, but be able to travel, do hunts, do articles, meet new people in all different areas and kind of tell those stories from upland hunters all across the U.S. It's a good gig for sure.
Talking with Matt Soberg from Covey Rise on Sporting Journal Radio as we celebrate our 400th show. Thank you for tuning in. More with Matt coming up. We're going to talk more about rough grouse, why they drum, where they drum, and what you should look for if you want to go see it in person. On the next Prairie Sportsman, we're spending time in the Driftless region of Minnesota. We'll head down the Root River Trail, venture into Mystery Cave, and get up close and personal with timber rattlesnakes. It's all coming up on the next Prairie Sportsman. Watch Driftless, Sunday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS, May 16th on WDSC in Duluth, TPT Life, May 23rd in the Twin Cities, all over the state on the Minnesota Channel, May 28th, on Lakeland PBS, June 13th, and on KSMQ in the Southeast, July 2nd. Or watch it at PrairieSportsman.org or on the Pioneer PBS YouTube channel. Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world
world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If Trophy Lake Trout and Monster Northern Pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Our guest, Matt Soberg, see the extended version of this interview plus video at sportingjournalradio.com or on Facebook. Matt, how has this stay-at-home situation affected you and your job?
Yeah, just like everybody else, I'm trying to follow the recommendations that everybody has for everyone. Luckily, I have my office here, so I work here by myself. I'm able to socially distance and everything. And then luckily with the magazine, we're plugging away forward, you know. Interestingly, subscription purchases are hanging in there. When people are at home and they don't have anything else to do, magazines are a great way to kind of distract you from everything going on around you. And then advertising has been, you know, a little shaky, honestly. Not sure exactly where that's going to go. That's where we want to make sure we get the economy going and everything to keep that going forward. But we're definitely hanging in there and moving forward. So that's good. And then honestly, chomping at the bit, trying to get out as much as I can, turkey hunting, scouting, making plans for the summer and the fall and all that stuff as much as possible too.
How old's your son?
He's nine.
Nine. Now. Okay. So what is that like fourth grade, fifth grade?
Third grade.
Yeah. I was close. How has his life been affected, and in turn, how has that affected your life, and how is it going?
Yeah, he's hanging in there too, you know, doing distance learning, and the public schools around where we are doing a great job with keeping the kids busy. They're doing Zoom meetings just like any company would out there, and keeping up with his math homework and everything else that he has to do. I will say for the kids going on with this, I kind of feel sorry for him, to be honest with you. I think they're getting a little lonely. Like, he's getting sick of hanging out with me all the time. He'd rather hang out with his buddies and do some stuff like that. Every time he has one of these meetings with his teacher or his classmates on the computer, his eyes light up. And I know he'd just rather be hanging out with them instead. But my wife works part-time at home, part-time at work. I'm doing the same, so we have a good opportunity to trade off there and make sure all that stuff gets taken care of. And then we're just trying to keep him busy. We play outside. We're keeping up with baseball, basketball, sports, and I've taken him turkey hunting too quite a few times this spring already. So that's good too.
How'd the turkey hunting go?
Not bad. Not bad. It's been a little tough, to be honest with you. I've hunted quite a few mornings before work and then the weekend since the season has started. And we had some really kind of cold weather that early season, which made it a little more difficult. I'm finding that the birds in my area are gobbling on the roost like they typically do. But when they fly down, they've been pretty quiet. And a lot of them are henned up right now, and it's made it a little difficult. But I did end up getting one last Saturday, finally, after many battles out there, after lots of bad mistakes and just bad luck. We finally got one down on Saturday, so pretty excited about that.
And your son was with you?
Yeah. Yep. He's been hunting with me quite a few years. This is his first year where he's actually shooting. And I'll tell you a quick story. Opening morning, we got into a spot where I knew there were birds. We were up on the ridge in the woods, and we called, and We heard one way off in the distance. Called again, he gobbled back, and we just stood there, and we were kind of in the open, and all of a sudden, this bird came in silent and gobbled just on the other side of the ridge, maybe 50, 60 yards away, and we weren't even set up or anything. So we hunkered down. I got behind him, got the gun all set up, and this bird came in to about 40 yards and was walking back and forth, gobbling every time I called, and there was one little opening where he could get a shot. And he was, you know, 9-year-old, first time hunting, he had a hard time getting on him. Honestly, if it was you or me with the gun at that point, that bird probably would have been brought home. And he just couldn't get a shot, but it was a great learning experience. He had a good time, and definitely is getting the passion instilled in him. So he's going to want to keep going as we go forward.
Cool. Well, he was there when you shot yours, and it sounds like you took too many pictures of him, man.
Yeah, if you follow social media at all, he loves to hunt. He does not like to model. And I'm one of those dads where I got the camera with all the time, and I'm making him pose and model and, you know, making memories like a dad does. And he gets a little annoyed with me, but it could be worse. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, congrats on the turkey. That's cool that you're bringing him out. So season's not over, so he's still got a chance yet. Are you going to bring him back out yet?
Yeah, he's got a tag, and he can hunt as a youth all the way through the end of the season. I think it goes to the end of May. So we're going to take breaks here and there, but whenever I can get him out and I can find some turkeys to get him on, we're going to go for it for sure.
Very cool. Well, this time of year, as I've mentioned on the show a number of times, it's fun to turkey hunt. You can maybe do some crappie fishing. There's places you can do some walleye fishing. But this has always been one of my favorite times of year to bring the camera out and just take pictures. And I got to do something with you a couple of years ago that I'd never had the chance to do before. It was something I've always wanted to do. Growing up, going to a cabin in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, Northwest Wisconsin up there, in the spring, we'd be kind of walking around the cabin or jumping in the boat to go fish for crappies. And I'd hear the old farmer back in the woods trying to start a tractor, and he could never get that dang thing started. I'm like, man, what in the world? What's going on? And then as you get a little bit older, you realize, well, that's a grouse making that noise back there. And then once you finally realize how they're making that noise, it's amazing to me. And once you get to see it finally in person, it's such a cool spectacle. And I know it's one of your favorite ways to spend a spring morning. And when we had the chance, I appreciate you taking me out that day to do that, but watching a grouse drumming on a log is a pretty neat experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it a little bit. I've been taking pictures of drumming grouse for probably 5 or 6 years now, multiple different birds. And I've gotten to the point where I'm pretty decent at it, and I can identify active logs and get a blind in there. And, it's like hunting with a camera, and it's challenging. And it's once you actually get it and you get that close to a bird drumming in their natural state, it's a pretty surreal experience. I like to explain it like when you see them flush in the fall, you see them for a split second. And just like when we were together in the blind there, we sat there for a couple hours and watched him drum. And he's only 20 yards away. It's a pretty interesting experience, and you get good pictures and video of them, and I really enjoy it. I'm kind of a bird nerd when it comes to that stuff, but it's one of the things that makes springtime one of my favorite times of year.
Get into some of that bird nerdology and explain. I just made that word up, by the way. Explain how they're making that noise, because when you tell somebody how they're making that noise, I don't think people realize it, or they think they're beating their chest or they're beating a log or what. They don't understand how that noise is being made.
Yeah, just like you said, people think they're beating their chest when they're doing it, but what they're actually doing is they're swinging their wings so fast together that they're making a mini sonic boom. So there's a vacuum that's created in between their wings and their chest when they're doing it. And they just go so fast that it's a mini sonic boom. And it's surprising how far away you can hear those little birds make that noise. But that's the basics of it.
It's so cool. And they're doing it to attract females and tell other males that this is their turf. Right. I mean, it's kind of a territorial mating display, combination mating display. But what's really neat is when you see one of those drumming logs, there's a couple of characteristics. When you talk about being able to recognize an active drumming log, talk about some of those little signs that you can see there.
Yeah, so they like to drum in areas where they're going to be safe. Obviously, they're making a loud noise and they're telling the world around them exactly where they are. So they want to be in a place where they're safe. So it's young forest, thick forest. I find them often in aspen cuts. When you drive by, it's the old aspen cuts. They're probably 8 to 12 years old, so thick that you couldn't even throw a football through them. And you just kind of walk through those areas and they're typically drumming on a drumming structure. It could be a downed log. It could be a rock. It could be some blowdown. Sometimes in really early seasons, they'll drum on snow piles and things like that. But you just walk around and you find one of these drumming structures, and there's always droppings on top of the log. And a good trick is if you want to know if it's an active one, you can often tell if the droppings are relatively recent or not, but you brush them off the log and then visit another day or 2 days later. And if there's droppings on the log again, you know they're there. And I take pictures. I set up a blind. And oftentimes, most of the time, this time of year, they're drumming early mornings. When I get in there, they'd be drumming in the pitch dark, and they'll drum early mornings, kind of take a break, and maybe drum periodically during the day, but heavily in early morning and then a little more heavily in the evenings as well. And in the springtime there, it's more mating. Sometimes you do hear them drum in the fall, but that's more territorial, just to ward off other males, to tell other males that this is their specific areas.
There were a couple of things that surprised me the first time I got up that close to an actual active drumming log. First, you talk about the droppings. There's droppings all over the place.
Yeah.
But they're... the log will be all scratched up, and it's from them trying to hold on for dear life as they make those sonic booms, right? They're just grabbing on and trying not to fall or fly away or fall off the log, I suppose, trying to stay on the log while they're drumming. But a lot of times they'll be drumming right next to a vertical tree too.
The vertical tree is meant to ward off predators. So it would thwart, say, a hawk coming down and being able to have a clear shot right down to where the bird is.
All right, Matt Soberg, I got to let you go because my camera's telling me we're running out of space here. So we better cut this thing short. But good luck with everything. Good luck with your son with the rest of the turkey season. And thanks for the time here on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Let's do it again.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.